not going to church. I know these days we're not physically gathering, but we're still going to church. And long before pandemic, we talked about why people decide not to be a part of a church in any way. Those reasons are still around. Negative past experience. No history of ever going to church. Seeing the church as anti-LGBTQ. Seeing the church as out of touch with what's happening in the world. We can be a community that reaches out to the nones, N-O-N-E-S, in being the church. See, here's what we do in being the church. We protect the environment. We care for the poor. We forgive often. We reject racism. We fight for the powerless. We share earthly and spiritual resources. We embrace diversity. We love God and enjoy this life. And it would follow that that is the reason people are part of church. And maybe the reason new people who haven't previously been part of a church would go. But you know what? It's not the chief reason people have typically gone to church. Why do people connect to church? Well, for so many, it's about helping people have successful lives. Arthur Brooks, a professor of business and government policy at Syracuse University's Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs, said this: "People who faithfully practice their religion make life easier for the rest of us. Those who attend religious services at least once a week commit fewer crimes, are less likely to divorce, and are more likely to donate to non-religious causes." Professor Brooks wrote a book called Gross National Happiness: Why Happiness Matters for America and How We Can Get More of It. So, becoming a successful, law-abiding, generous person, that's not a bad reason to go to church, but let's move on. A decade or so, I wrote an article for a magazine. The article was called Fix My Kid. Here's a few tidbits from that article. "I don't understand why my 15-year-old keeps yelling at me and acting so bratty all the time. I ask him to be more polite to me, and he says that I never listen to him. All I'm asking for is that he stops yelling so much. Do you think you can talk to him and get him to stop?" "My daughter said that she doesn't want to go to college right after high school. She wants to work and earn money this year for a big trip next year. That means she isn't planning on going to college for at least 2 years. Can you set her straight with some pastor talk?" Situations and requests like these are familiar in ministry. Many parents want their students to be involved with church so that they'll become well-adjusted, successful adults. They also expect that because they're part of a church group, students will behave better throughout their high school years. Folks want to be in church so that they'll be around well-adjusted, successful people who behave. But that brings up a bigger question about church. Are we here to make people behave better? Are we a character-building honorary society? Or is there something more that we're called to do as the church? Today's Bible reading suggests that the idea of following Jesus to make us into safe, well-adjusted people isn't accurate. There's something we miss when all we look at is the rest, rejuvenation, reconciliation, and peace that Jesus gives to those who are harassed and helpless. See, following Jesus isn't about being comfortable with the way things are. It's about having a passion to live a life dedicated to justice and peace, no matter how unpopular or how unsettling that is to us and to those around us. The late Mike Iaconelli, he used this term, dangerous wonder, in a book called Dangerous Wonder. It describes the marvelous, troubling, fulfilling, confusing, peaceful, and dangerous life of following Jesus. He said that his experience following Jesus was much like the experience described in C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or Lucy and Aslan, Romp. It was such a romp as no one had ever seen in Narnia, and whether it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or playing with a kitten, Lucy could never make up her mind. And then there was Mr. Beaver's reaction to the question, as to whether or not the lion Aslan was safe. Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good, I tell you. Today's Bible reading, it's not safe, but it's good. It's a warning to those first disciples that they needed to unlearn what they thought about the world. Jesus was describing for them a new set of priorities that were in contrast to the way they may have thought things were. So what would Jesus say to us today? You want to follow me so that you can have your best life now? Step out of your privilege and let me show you my way. Jesus promises rest, rejuvenation, reconciliation, and peace to those who are harassed and helpless. But following Jesus is so much more than relief. It's marvelous. It's troubling, confusing, fulfilling, peaceful, dangerous. It is life and world changing. It is by no means safe, but it is good. It is peaceful and dangerous. It is unsafe and good. It is losing and gaining. Got an idea? This week, for a challenge, take one point from the Be the Church banners and put it into action. Protect the environment. Care for the poor. Forgive often, reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, love God, enjoy this life. Be the church. Be bold and daring. Amen.